Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying, in this study, Lord, I want to know you, and it's all about the names of God. And today we are on lesson four, and we're going to do today two lessons, lesson four and lesson five. And it will give us two names of God. And we will see in this study more and more about Jesus and more about God and the Trinity itself. Now, we're going to look at this study today, and we'll be studying about El Roi, God who sees, Almighty God. And we will also be studying about El Shaddai, God Almighty, the self-sufficient one. So let's begin our study now in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray the Holy Spirit will open our eyes and open our hearts as we study your word, that we may know you more. That's what we're studying. This study is that we may know you more. And I just pray that as we look at your word, your truths, that you will give us wisdom and knowledge to see your character, your attributes, and your nature in a way that we have never seen before, that we may bring you honor and glory. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Yes, when we look at this study on El Roi, we do see that God is the one that sees. And we're going to begin by reading the 16th chapter of the book of Genesis. And in this chapter, we're going to see the God who sees. Starting with verse 1. Now, Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, and she had an Egyptian maid whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "Now, behold, the Lord has prevented me from bearing children. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I will obtain children through her." And Abram listened to the voice of Sarai. And after Abram had lived 10 years in the land of Canaan, Abram's wife Sarah took Hagar the Egyptian, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram as his wife. He went in to Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her sight. And Sarai said to Abram, "May the wrong done me be upon you. I gave my maid into your arms, but when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her sight. May the Lord judge between you and me." Verse 6, but Abram said to Sarai, "Behold, your maid is in your power. Do to her what is good in your sight." So Sarai treated her harshly, and she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her, Hagar, by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going? And she said, I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai. And then the angel of the Lord said to her, return to your mistress and submit yourself to her authority. Moreover, the angel of the Lord said to her, I will greatly multiply your descendants so that they will be too many to count. And the angel of the Lord said to her further, behold, you are with child, and you will bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all of his brothers. Then she called, look at verse 13. Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, you are a God who sees. El Roy, that's Hebrew for God who sees. For she said, have I even remained alive here after seeing him? And therefore the well was called Beer Laha Roa. Behold, it is between excuse me, Kadesh and Bered. So excuse me, Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram called the name of his son whom Hagar bore Ishmael. And Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to him. Now, let's look at this and see how that God moves by his great hand to accomplish his plan, and to let us see what a God that he is, and that he is a God that sees. So we learn then that Hagar was a servant to Sarai. So because Sarah couldn't have children, couldn't bear children, she took Hagar, her servant, her maid, and gave her to her husband Abram, that he might go into her and she might bear a children or a son. So whose idea was it that Abram and Hagar have relations? We know that it was Sarah's idea, because she couldn't bear Abram any children. So do you think that Hagar had much of a choice in this? No, she didn't, because she was a slave. She was a maid to Sarah. So after she became with child, what happened? We see that she despised Hagar, Sarah did. So, do you think that Hagar was innocent of all this? And why was she innocent? Yes, she was innocent, because it wasn't her idea, was it? It was Sarah's idea. So there are things in life that take place that we're not responsible for, that come about could be a situation not exactly as this situation, but a situation that we're not responsible for, but sometimes we get blamed for, and others look at us and use us and despise us because of what has taken place. You may have experienced some of this. So we know in this book of Genesis that God was looking, God was seeing. And so what did he say to Hagar? As Hagar was sent away, Sarai didn't even want her to be in her sight, and she was sent away. And God now tells Hagar to return and to submit herself back to the authority of Sarai. So, what did we see in this that Sarai saw in God? We know from the scripture that she saw God as all-seeing. God knew what had taken place, and he had a purpose and a plan. So we know that no matter what takes place in life, just as what took place in Hagar's life, that God has a plan and a purpose. So we know that God always sees no matter what takes place. Sometimes we might be mistreated or used by someone that we trust or respect. And it's hard to overcome. And we try to dismiss it and forget it, but then it comes up again and again, and it causes pain and it causes bitterness. And many times that we try to forget and overcome, it comes up again. But whether the abuse is sexual, mental, or physical, can we find healing? Yes, we know we can. All believers in the Lord Jesus can find healing because Jesus himself is a great physician, and he can heal from all wounds, not only physical wounds, but mental wounds and wounds that are brought on by others. So he is sovereign, and he is a God of love. So we know that it begins with him recognizing that El Roi, the God who sees, is awake, and he sees all. Let's look at Psalms 139, verses 7 through 12. We can see in here the psalmist tells us that God sees always at all times. Let me read verse 7 through 12. Where can I go from thy spirit, or where can I flee from thy presence? If I ascend to heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there thy hand will lead me, and thy right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night, even the darkness is not dark to thee, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to thee. So the psalmist who is here, David, he knows that God sees all everywhere. So we know that every sin that is brought about, that God sees and knows. And one day, maybe not in this life, but in the future, God will vindicate you for sin that has been brought to you, just like Hagar. So there will be a righteous judgment. So after we realize that he sees, then you know that he is sovereign and he allowed it. He permitted it. And God uses all things for good. Sometimes we ask the question, how could God use this terrible thing for good? But we know the scripture tells us that he uses all things for good for those that love him. So Psalm 9:10 says, you must know him, believe him, and put your trust in his name, for he does not forsake those who seek him. So that's how that we know as believers that he will not forsake us. And we've already studied in the scripture where we're to run in time of trouble, in time of persecution, that we run to the strong tower of his name and rest. So the memory verse then for the scripture that we just read is Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. El Roi is in every place, watching the evil and the good. So there are a lot of questions that we can ask as we have read this about El Roi. It tells us that God is sovereign, that he oversees everything. So after we have read about Hagar, how do you feel about the way that Hagar was handled, how that she was treated? Do you see that it may be something that relates to what happened in your own life? And in knowing that God is El Roi, then how could you handle the situation? How did Hagar handle it? She realized and recognized, didn't she, that God saw what was happening. And as he spoke to her, he made some promises. And we know that in the scripture, God makes promises to us. And he keeps his promises, as he kept, as you go on and read the rest of the story of Hagar. You see that God did give her a son, and he made him of a strong nation, and he used him in his great plan. Now let's go on to chapter 5 or lesson 5, and we're going to study in this chapter another name for God, and that name is El Shaddai, and it means God Almighty, the All-Sufficient One. And as we look at this, we're going to see that God is sufficient for all things. Let's begin with reading in the Old Testament that we may see El Shaddai. And we're looking at Genesis chapter 7. 1 through 3. We're still looking at Abraham, and his name is still Abram, and it hasn't been changed. So at this time, verse 1 of Genesis 17 says, "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty." There we see where it first shows that he is El Shaddai, God Almighty. "Walk with me and be blameless. I will establish my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly." Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you will be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram." This is where God changes his name. "But your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the father of a multitude of nations." So we see here that God is sovereign, and he is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. He is the all-sufficient God. He is our protector. So, when we run to God, El Shaddai, he is our all-sufficient one. When God first revealed himself as El Shaddai to Abram, he was 99 years old. And he made a covenant, a promise with Abram. And he said that the covenant was going to be between him, God, and Abraham. And he said he would multiply him exceedingly. And he said to him that he would be the father of a multitude of nations. And he changed his name from Abram to Abraham, because he said, I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come forth from you, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generation for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And that was reading from Genesis 17, 1 through 8. So we know that if anyone needed to know God as El Shaddai, it was Abraham, because he was 99 and Sarah was 89. And God had promised them his son, but they were still childless, and they were without the son. But because Abraham come to know God through the promise that he made, he knew that God was El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one. All of the word El, E-L, and like E-L-I-M, or A-L-O-H-I-M, or E-L-O-A-H, is one of the oldest and most widely distributed terms for deity known to the human race. We know and studied earlier that E-L stands for might or power. Even when it's not representing God, it still stands for might and power. So now we're seeing that God is El Shaddai, the powerful one, almighty one. So there's a lot of study about the word Shaddai. And one thing that it represents is a meaning that the word El Shaddai here is pouring forth. It's saying that it's one who pours himself out, God himself, for his creatures, who gives them lifeblood, who sheds his spirit. And he says to come unto me and drink, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And who thus, by the sacrifice of himself, gives himself and his very nature to those who will receive him, God, that thus his perfect will may be accomplished in him. The sacrament of the body and blood of Christ is the ceaseless witness of this giving himself to us. And it's only through the indwelling of him in us through the Holy Spirit that it can be fulfilled for his purpose and be almighty to us. It's only through our salvation. Now looking at El Shaddai, or Almighty, with Abraham, this name, Almighty, was first revealed to Abraham. And it had been a promise, the heir promise. God told Abram that he was going to give him a child, a son, and that it wouldn't come from his strength, but it would come from God Almighty. So we know that there was a period of time from the time that he first told Abram till he changed his name to Abraham, till he was 99 years old, that God fulfilled that. We have to look at this and see how that all the promises that God makes us, sometimes we question God because we may not see those promises fulfilled when we think they should be. But look at the space of time from the time that it was promised to Abraham until he became the father of his son Isaac. Here he was, an old man, past the time that a man would be able to produce a seed. And here was his wife, Sarah. Her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah, and she was old. And God had not gone back on his promise. But we have to look at God's plan. He had a reason and a purpose for the time that in their old age. One thing we see that God sees all, he knows all, he's in control of all. And we have to come to the place to yield everything to him and trust him. Sarai, when she was Sarai and Abram, they wanted to fulfill God's plan their way. And that's whenever they thought that they would use the maid or maiden of Sarai to fulfill that plan. But you have to, and I have to, realize that God is sovereign. He's the one in control. And until we become submissive to letting him work things in his plan, then that may cause a time. We see here that Sarah and Abraham were looking for what they wanted to be in their time. So when we yield ourselves to let God have his way, his time, his plan, then things work because we can see. Here we can see, it says, how that Abram yielded himself to God Almighty, El Shaddai, in everything. First of all, he yielded to the circumcision that God had asked of him. And that figure of self-judgment and perfect self-surrender testified that his hope was not in the flesh or in its energies, but only through the blessed giver of himself, by whom alone we can bring forth the fruit that is accepted of him, and the giving up and sacrifice of the much beloved Son who had been longed for, and whom it has been said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." Remember, after Abraham had received Isaac, then God asked or told Abraham to take this son that God had promised him and take him to the altar where he was to sacrifice him, to give his only begotten son, as Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, our Father. It was a foreshadow of what Jesus, of what God did through his Son, Jesus. So, it's not by our will, but it's by God's will that we see Almighty God. We can look at all these scriptures and see the great El Shaddai, the great I Am, God as Almighty God. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 and 10, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness." In other words, God's almighty, God's in control. He has all the power. And his grace, that grace, that love that he has for each of us, is sufficient for the power that we need in our weakness. In 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10, Paul said, "For Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." And then we go back to Genesis 17:1. "I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless." Now let's look at a memory verse that will sum up what we've just studied about El Shaddai. Look at Genesis 17:1 that we read. Genesis 17:1. "Now when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, 'I am God Almighty, El Shaddai. Walk before me and be blameless.'" Why do you think that El Shaddai means all-sufficient one? Because he is sufficient for all things, no matter what takes place in our life. If we know him as El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, Almighty God, we know that he is sufficient. So, what did this mean to Abram? We know that it meant the same thing that it means to us today, that his God was self-sufficient to supply all of his needs because he fulfilled them in Abraham's life. So, has God revealed himself to you as El Shaddai? If so, what has that meant in your life? What does it mean to you, the name of God, El Shaddai, God Almighty? What does that mean to me, the all-sufficient one? It means that God is sufficient for everything, not just some things, but everything. So let us close this study in prayer. Father God, Almighty God, El Shaddai, El Roi, El Ohim, El Elyon, all these names that we are seeing in your word of who you are. Father, may we remember every day in our lives, no matter what we face, no matter what we go through, that you are the Creator, that you are the all-sufficient, Almighty God, that you are all-seeing, and that you know all. You're in control of it all. And Father, may we, as believers in Jesus Christ, we can see all of this in Jesus, that you gave your only begotten Son, that each of us may have life everlasting. All the promises in your book were fulfilled through Jesus. We praise you, Father, and we want to please you, to do your will, and to bring you honor and glory. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.